Welcome to the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana.
Watford for the win! Yes! Yes! Unbelievable!
Your daily home for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Welcome to Indiana basketball.
Smart takes the shot! And the Hoosiers with 3 seconds. Go ahead.
Indiana wins the championship. Keith Smart is the hero.
When my time on Earth is gone and my activities here are past, I want they bury me upside down and my critics can kiss my...
Now here's your host, Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana. What I feel is the pinnacle, the absolute pinnacle of all of college basketball.
Hello, welcome in a Friday edition of the program. It's rivalry game day, you could say, New Albany at Jeffersonville tonight. We'll have the play-by-play story of the game, beginning with our pregame coverage from Johnson Arena around 7:10. But, of course, the big news of today is going through and recapping last night's Indiana loss on the road at Wisconsin. And I think, really, there probably is two schools of thought from Indiana fans today. That first school of thought is you go on the road, you don't play well down the stretch, even though the game goes to overtime, extra periods, actually, and you have opportunities at the end of regulation and at the end of the first overtime with possession of the ball to win it and just simply can't get it done. So you lose, disappointing finish, maybe squandered it away could be the thought. The other school of thought, I think, would be, wow, Indiana doesn't play great again in the first half, had some opportunities to win the game at Wisconsin, top of the Big Ten Conference, on the road, a top 10 team in the country, and came ever so close to a victory, forcing some extra periods. So not sure which side you fall on, but some good from last night's game. I think anytime you battle somebody at the top of the conference, it's a top 10 team and you're on the road, and we know, even I know this COVID year, maybe the road games and home court advantage doesn't factor in as big as what it normally would with the crowd, but still difference when you're making that trip and you're traveling to somewhere different and you're shooting on rims that you don't practice on or at least pretty often shoot on and work on, be around. So Indiana with the loss, but again, some positives and negatives, and we'll go through all of those today here in this Friday edition of our program. Let's take a look at today's show lineup. It's a service of Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Segment one will start here in just a few moments with some Zaxby's headlines, a summary of the day's top IU and Southern Indiana sports news. Later in the hour, Dylan Wallace of Sports Illustrated Indiana, he joins the program. We'll recap, go through the storylines last night from Madison, Wisconsin, in the loss for the Hoosiers, and we'll take a look ahead as well for this Indiana team. But we'll spend a lot of time with Dylan today going through what went right and also what went wrong last night. We saw some more reoccurrences, you could say, of some of the same issues that have affected Indiana in so many of their games so far this season. And just kind of as a sidebar here as we go through the lineup today, I was thinking about this morning. If you would end the IU games, if the final buzzer sounded with 10, 9, 8 minutes left, and you didn't have to play that final stretch of regulation, and I'm not just talking about last night, but Indiana's record would be almost perfect, except for the Texas game. I think they were never really in that one or close. But if you go back and look, Indiana, in the second half, in most of these games that they have lost, have had a lead, and maybe there have been a stretch where it looks like they could even start to pull away. But they've had a 4 or 6 point lead against Illinois. A lot of the losses that they have had, even Northwestern, the first game of the year, there was an opportunity in the second half where Indiana had a 4 or 6 point lead. Looked like they might be able to not take control of the game, but hold Northwestern off down the stretch, and that didn't happen. So a lot of these things reoccurring, and we'll talk about that with Dylan Wallace when he joins us today. Later in the show, it's Friday, a game day, rivalry day, and so we love to have the coaches on from some of these big rivalry games for our local high school matchups. And so today we'll have Jim Shannon of New Albany and Andrew Grants of Jeffersonville with us a little bit later in the program. Back to back, you'll hear from both of the coaches in advance of tonight's rivalry game at Jeffersonville. And, of course, the storyline number one, in addition to the big rivalry, it's a Hoosier Hills Conference game, and both teams have some outstanding players. And Jeff, we think, has a ton of talent, just not a lot of games under their belt to prove exactly where they're at this season so far. No fans, basically, in the game tonight. I understand it's still set at 4 immediate family members for each player in the arena tonight. I know the New Albany players had to submit mom and dad and brother and sister, people that live in their immediate household, to get vouchers or to get tickets that they pay for at the door tonight at Jeffersonville. So it will definitely be an odd situation, at least for me, to sit high above Johnson Arena tonight with very little to no crowd in attendance. This is one of these games, if you look back over the years, and we had a nice discussion yesterday on the program with Brian Sullivan, where we went through some of the history of this great New Albany Jeff series. But this will be an oddity to sit there tonight above Johnson Arena and broadcast a game with very few fans in the stands and everyone spread out within their own families. If you think back to some of the big games, and going back to the early 90s for me, the mid-90s really, just tremendous crowds during that time at every regular season game. And, of course, in the postseason as well. It didn't matter if it was at New Albany, at Jeff regular season, or if it was at Seymour in the old regional back then. The place was absolutely packed. And, of course, in more modern days, there have been some years where tickets are still available and they don't quite get to the sellout mark, but it always is pretty close. If you look up, there would be some seats available up high that could still be sold where they just simply don't fill it up. But then we had Romeo Langford come through, and every New Albany game was sold out. And, of course, the rivalry games took an even bigger meaning on, because everyone on the other side wanted to try to beat Romeo and New Albany. And so that really shot a lot of new life into that series. And since then, it's been competitive. And, of course, Jeff has been on a run here the last few years since Romeo has been gone, to make the series closer in modern times. But it will be a first, no question. There will not be an overwhelming crowd or a near sellout or a sellout crowd tonight. It will be a definite different environment tonight. So if you're not one of those immediate family members, you're probably going to be out and about doing other things on this Friday evening, but make sure you tune us in. We'll have the full play-by-play story of that contest here on the Big X Sports Radio, beginning again at 7 o'clock with our pregame coverage. All right, that's the show lineup as well for today, a service of Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Don't forget to check out their new dinner package deals that are now being offered. You can dine in, you can take them to go, and curbside service still available as well at Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Let's get into our Zaxby's headlines, a summary of the day's top IU and Southern Indiana sports news, and just kind of a recap last night from the game. And again, if you watch this, I know we've got a lot of hardcore Indiana fans that listen to the program each day. You probably saw this for your own self, but Trace Jackson Davis obviously deserves a lot of credit. Played 49 minutes last night, 23 points, 12 rebounds, so a double-double for him. But probably the biggest surprise of the game, I think we all felt like Anthony Leal was due for some playing time. And with Armand Franklin out, it looks like it could be a little bit for him now. And Archie Miller making comments that he had to play more players off of the bench. I don't think it's any surprise that Anthony Leal was the guy that got some minutes and some opportunities last night on the road at Wisconsin. I think what's surprising is that it was kind of a breakout for him. He had 9 points. I thought that was big for him. I thought also he helped some defensively. You know, he's just a freshman, but his body has changed a lot between his senior year at Bloomington South and his freshman year now at Indiana. We see those off-season pictures before the season from Cliff Marshall. Clearly there's some major differences to him. But I wondered, was he ready to defend in the Big Ten Conference? And again, no freshman is going to be great, I think, at defense in most situations in the Big Ten. But Leal was pretty good last night, in addition to 9 points. And so it looks like he's someone that you can officially say is added to the rotation. I would be surprised to see him not continue to get some reasonable minutes in most situations for this Indiana team. But he played 35 minutes last night. And for him, that's just outstanding, basically going from zero a few games ago. I think he got in a little bit earlier in the week against Maryland, but to major minutes, 35 minutes, major minutes last night, at least for him as a freshman, that's just kind of feeling things out. So other things to mention as you look at the box score last night, in addition to Trace's 23 points, you had three other players in double figures. Al Durham with 15 points. Good to see him again contribute, as well as Rob Fennessy, 10 points. They're not playing their best basketball. Made some silly mistakes between Durham and Fennessy late in the game in that overtime period. But again, they are upperclassmen, at least Fennessy is, and Durham is senior. And they're guards, they're ball handlers, and that's such a big thing in this conference. You got to have solid guards. They don't have to score a lot, but they've got to be solid with running the offense and not making mistakes. And they seem to be taking some big steps forward, where I think you kind of thought they would be to start the season, to be quite honest, over these last few games. Also, Jerome Hunter was good last night as well, 12 points, 5 of 8 shooting. He was 2 of 4 from the tray ball, which is good to see, especially with Armand Franklin out. You know, he's kind of had a knack for being consistent shooting the three-point shot so far this season. It's really been a big surprise, I think, from that area. If you look what he did and the team did there last season, and you miss that and miss him, there's no question about it, in a game like last night. But for Jerome Hunter to step up and knock down a couple, I think Anthony Leal, I mentioned that he had his 9 points, 3 of 6. He shot 50% from the long ball. So between Leal and Hunter, they probably more than made up for what Armand Franklin would have brought from the long ball last night. But still, a tough performance down the stretch. Indiana, I thought, had opportunities with possession of the basketball at the end of the game and then in the first overtime to get it done. And it's kind of one of those things. You're playing on house money. You're on the road at top 10 ranked team. You're at a place you haven't won for years and years and years, and you force overtime. Okay, that's great. You had the ball. You could have won it. You didn't. I know there could maybe argue for a foul on Jackson Davis at the end of regulation, but it didn't happen. And you move on. First overtime, once again, you've got the ball. Your guards get tied up in a jump ball. You lose possession, and that's the end of the first overtime. At that point, as it headed to the second overtime, I thought, okay, I'm just not sure that this thing will go Indiana's way no matter what happens here, because, again, you feel like you're kind of playing on some house money when you're on the road at a top 10 ranked team. So in Indiana falls, and a look at the Big Ten Conference as we head into the weekend. Now, again, there have been some postponements. We've talked about that this week. There seems to be some COVID-19 issues kind of creeping into the Big Ten Conference for the first time this season. Purdue, Nebraska, that game was canceled. Of course, that is where Indiana's scheduled to be at next. There's been no word so far that will be any different than what is scheduled, but Penn State has had some issues. They are paused. They've lost a few games as well, and so definitely it's interesting to see here over the next week and a half where we end up with this COVID-19, I guess, outbreak, you could say, in the Big Ten Conference. Again, mentioned this yesterday as well, there are two windows for each team in the conference when the scheduling was done for postponements to be made up. Of course, if you're Penn State, I think now they have two canceled coming up and one this past week with the Wisconsin that was called off, so they've got three. I don't know if you can fit those in one of these windows or not, or if they'll have to be split among both, but the plan obviously is for games to be made up and for the schedule at some way, somehow, to be completed with what's put out there for this season. But looking at the Big Ten heading into this weekend, I think this is interesting. Michigan 5-0, leading the conference. They are playing good. They are winning a lot of their games by big margins. Illinois seems to have got it together. 5-1 record as they head into the weekend as well. Iowa right behind Illinois with a 4-1 record. Then it's Wisconsin last night, of course, that reached the 4-1 mark with a win over Indiana. Then after that, you go to Ohio State 2-3, Minnesota 3-3, Rutgers 3-3, Indiana 2-3, Michigan State 2-3, Purdue 2-3. Northwestern 3-3, then Penn State no wins, Nebraska no wins, Maryland with one win in the conference. And so as you look over things, I think we're starting to see the tiers of the Big Ten Conference, and I don't think there's any real major surprises. There's a few things that would maybe be different from what you penciled in the preseason, but that top tier would be in no certain order here: Michigan, Illinois, Iowa, Wisconsin. I don't think there's any surprise with that. the middle tier, I think you could say Ohio State, Minnesota, Rutgers, Indiana, Michigan State, Purdue, and Northwestern could be in that middle tier. Penn State, Maryland, and Nebraska would be at the bottom tier. And again, Maryland, their one win in the conference, you know, was over Wisconsin. So again, you can see that anybody can really beat anybody on any given night. That's probably the most overused phrase in Big Ten Conference basketball this season. Again, New Albany and Jeff tonight. We've got both of those coaches coming up a little bit later in the program, and we look forward to getting a preview from both of them on their team tonight. And with Coach Grants of Jeff, you know, I saw a story this morning, and our partners from the News and Tribune, Brandon Razor Moore, coming in from Jeffersontown. He really has been such a big addition to this Jeffersonville team. We knew Will Loving's Watts would be really good. We knew he had gotten better. He can score it in a lot of different ways. Kobe Studemeyer, no question, he can run the offense for the Big 4A program like that. But Razor Moore's really kind of been, I think, could be that X factor this season for the Red Devils. And so look forward today to talking to Coach Grants for the first time this season, where we can actually, I think, talk more about his team. He's seen him play enough. He's been around him enough now after such a slow start that we can kind of talk about specific roles and things instead of just what he expects and what he thinks about his team this season. And, of course, for New Albany and Jim Shannon, they have, so far have been able to get in their games as scheduled this season. 5-3 are the Bulldogs. Played some good basketball early in the year, including a win over Floyd Central back on December 11th. But three losses in a row after the Floyd Central game, Zionsville, Carmel, and Blackford. And then their last game, December 29th, they were winners, but it took overtime to defeat Seymour. And, again, that was an ugly basketball game. New Albany just simply couldn't score the basketball. I think it was tied at 29 apiece at the end of regulation. So excited about Jeff New Albany tonight. We'll be there with our pregame coverage at 7:10 here on the Big X. We'll head to a commercial break. We'll come back with Dylan Wallace of Sports Illustrated Indiana. More on IU Wisconsin from last night. And we'll look ahead at what's next for the Hoosiers as they continue on the road. They'll be at Nebraska coming up over the weekend. We'll preview that contest as well. And then again, as I mentioned, the coaches, Andrew Grants and Jim Shannon, join us later in this hour as well. This is the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison. Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
I'll handle this the way I want to handle it now that I'm here. You f***ed it up to begin with. Now just sit there or leave. I don't give a f*** what you do. Now, back to the game.
Here's Matt Dennison.
All right, we're back on this Friday program. Dylan Wallace of Sports Illustrated Indiana is my guest. And, of course, we're going to start with Indiana on the road last night, a overtime loss against Wisconsin. Dylan, I mentioned at the start of the show today, I think there's probably two schools of thoughts from different IU fans today. One is Indiana went on the road, a tough place to play, haven't won there for years, against the top 10 ranked team and one of the top Big Ten conference teams this season, and forced a couple overtimes and kept it close, and there were some positives last night. The other side of that argument from other fans could be that Indiana once again faltered down the stretch and couldn't complete what they started, and obviously a loss is a loss in the Big Ten Conference this year. Your thoughts on Indiana's performance and ultimately a loss last night on the road at Wisconsin?
Yeah, I've been kind of going back and forth, you know, I guess between those two points, just because, you know, you didn't have Armon Franklin, and, you know, I guess you don't go there for any type of moral victories or anything like that, but I think, you know, you should be encouraged, especially when they got down double digits. It looked like things could get out of hand. You know, I was in Madison last year when they lost by 20 at the Kohl Center. So, you know, you had a feeling, you know, things could might slip away, but, you know, they were able to fight back. Kind of stole their front, take the lead, and it looked like they had control of that game. And then this is where I kind of flip over to, you know, you got to close this out because, you know, it looked like they had momentum. You know, Trish Jackson Davis was playing like an animal. I mean, he was fired up. The whole team just seemed like they had a lot of confidence. And, you know, there's just a few plays here and there where, you know, one shot goes down or one more defensive stop, and, you know, they'll probably come out with the victory. And, you know, when you have a team like that, Wisconsin, on the ropes, you know, we saw Maryland doing it maybe like about a week and a half ago. You know, they were able to close out Wisconsin. And Indiana just beat Maryland. So Indiana was there. They had a chance. They couldn't do it. And I think that's the frustrating part, especially because you've seen it so many times. You know, even the Florida State game this year, you know, that was another big opportunity for a big road win that they weren't able to close out. And that also went to overtime. I think it's more of the frustration side of, you know, you have to be able to close games like that out, especially against a team like number 8 Wisconsin, especially after you've lost your first two Big Ten games and you're kind of trying to climb back into the race and then you just took another step back. But, if anything for this team, you know, mentally for them, you know, if it builds more confidence for them, that's a good thing going forward. And you know, hopefully when they play Nebraska on Sunday on the road, you know, they're kind of able to take care of business. I think it's more frustration, especially when you look at some of the possessions. I think at the end of the first overtime, you know, when you don't execute right, and I think that play seemed like it was supposed to be kind of an isolation for Al Durham, and Rob Tennessee kind of ran over to his side and kind of messed up the spacing, which allowed Brad Davidson to sort of tie that ball up, because Al kind of was stuck in the middle of a lot of people. So, when you don't execute, when things like that happen, I think they stopped getting traced the ball as well. It's frustrating to see, because, you know, you obviously want to close a game like that out, and that'd be a big win, you know, for Indiana, especially to kind of get themselves back on track. So, it's sort of a moral victory in the sense that maybe fans feel a little more comfortable if they think, you know, Indiana can compete with some of the best in the Big Ten. You know, they played Illinois kind of on the road as well. So, it doesn't matter if you played them well. You know, you want to go there to win. And that's what Al Durham said after the game last night. We didn't come here to be close. We came here to win, and we didn't get the job done.
Talking with Dylan Wallace, Sports Illustrated Indiana. I want to talk about a couple different players that it just seems recently we haven't had a lot of opportunity or a lot of things to say about him. Anthony Leal last night, 35 minutes. He had 3 3-pointers. And Jerome Hunter as well hit a couple threes. I think he finished in double-figure scoring last night. Those are two somewhat new faces. I mean, I think Jerome Hunter, we've all been kind of waiting and hoping that he would step up into a bigger role as he was expected to, as he was a recruit coming into Indiana. But your thoughts on both of those guys last night, stepping up, playing some bigger roles than maybe what they've been used to so far?
Yeah, I'll start with Jerome. Obviously, as you mentioned, he was a guy that everyone's kind of been waiting to see, you know, how much he can evolve. Is he thinking to be more than just like a spot-up shooter for Indiana? I think last night with Race Thompson in foul trouble, it was really up to him to sort of come in, play some good defense, rebound the ball, which he's rebounded the ball pretty well. He had 7 rebounds last night. He rebounded the ball pretty well against Maryland as well. He did a really nice job there. And, you know, he had a couple three-pointers, and you saw him kind of be in the paint, and, you know, some players were able to get him the ball. He was able to go up and finish. And, you know, that was just a really good, thing to see from him. Is you saw a bunch of different facets of his game that he looked like he was improved in. You know, he's playing, he's playing pretty decent defense. He's rebounding the ball. He's scoring in the paint. I think he also, you know, especially in the first half, it seemed like he was always kind of looking for Trace. And he was able to set Trace up for a few easy baskets, which is a good thing to see. That, you know, he's kind of just always, as soon as he gets the ball, that's the first thing he's going to look for is Trace, which is what Indiana needs to do, is trying to get him the ball at all times. So, yeah, I think the Jerome played pretty well. He missed really, it looked like it was an easy layup in double overtime that I think if it goes down, maybe you don't know what happens from there. But, you know, he missed that one. But other than that, I think he had a really good game. And, yeah, I mean, Anthony Leal, I mean, that was impressive. You know, we talked to him on the game was Thursday, on Wednesday or Tuesday or Wednesday. I can't remember what day it was, but we talked to him and, you know, just about earning playing time. And, you know, and he felt like, you know, Archibald's been saying for a few weeks that he felt like Anthony was really close to getting on the floor and getting big minutes. And, you know, I mean, you saw it yesterday. I mean, he hit 3 3-pointers. The one in the overtime was absolutely no hesitation. He just kind of went for it, and that was great to see. You know, his second 3-pointer in the second half was sort of like a prayer at the end, but, you know, good shooters are able to make that go down, and that's what he's supposed to bring to the table here, is being a guy that's able to kind of step in and make shots. And he sort of filled the Trey Galloway role last night, where he was kind of that freshman on the floor throughout most of the game. And as he held his own, you know, it was a really good sign. And I think the more minutes these freshmen are able to get and contribute like that, the better. Now I think Trey Gell and Anthony Leal are going to be kind of the first two that I looked at to see, you know, what they're able to do and if they can kind of keep doing that for Indiana. So that was really good to see, you know, those two guys playing big minutes, playing important minutes, and kind of holding their own on the floor, both offensively and defensively, was a really big thing for the Hoosiers moving forward.
Dylan Wallace, Sports Illustrated Indiana. We're talking about IU's loss last night at Wisconsin. Any concern of the game against Nebraska? I know Nebraska and Purdue was postponed. I never really saw it explained where the issues were. I think it was just mutually agreed upon because of health concerns. I'm sure COVID-19 concerns the game wouldn't be played. But any word on what's going on with Nebraska, and is there any threat that you're picking up on that game being played for Indiana there?
Yeah, no, I mean, I saw yesterday that as of now, the game is still kind of scheduled to be played. I believe Purdue is playing tonight against Michigan State, so it seemed like it was a very cautionary thing with them. So it seemed like both of them, you know, they might both have it under control if Purdue's going to play tonight in Nebraska. As of now, it is scheduled, you know, to kind of have the game on Sunday. So I think it's good. I haven't seen anything new or recent this morning to where there might be some cases or they're not practicing anything right now. So, yeah, as of now, I believe the game is kind of scheduled for Sunday. But it's definitely going to be something to kind of monitor, as we know. Anything, can, you know, any moment or any time or any day, things can kind of change and get out of hand. So, but yeah, I think the game's going to be played.
Talking to Dylan Wallace, Sports Illustrated Indiana. Getting back to last night's game at Wisconsin, Archie Miller looked pretty frustrated after the game. He normally is pretty stoic, never really overly joyful, I think, in his press conferences, win or lose. You probably have been to many more of them, watched many more of them this year than what I have after all the games and, of course, leading into the games as well. But he seemed frustrated, and I guess that's fair. I kind of tend to believe that, hey, at the Kohl Center, on the road against a Wisconsin team, you came pretty close. I know that doesn't count in the Big Ten standings, but closing out games has been an issue for this team, and clearly it's becoming a real frustration.
Yeah, I think it would. I definitely seemed a little more frustrated than usual. Usually he's just kind of, you know, straight-faced and just kind of talks business as usual, but it seemed like he was frustrated yesterday, and I think kind of just the execution things that I mentioned at the end of the first overtime that continues to kind of come back and haunt them. I believe it was the Penn State game when they won in overtime and Rob Pissing hit that shot. And execution-wise on that play was also kind of messed up. And, you know, he said that kind of Penn State blew it up because they switched on everything. But still, you know, there are these important moments in games. You know, you look at the overtime against Pittsburgh, you look at overtime against Wisconsin where there's big plays, big moments, and team's not executing the way they're supposed to do, and I think that's frustrating. And I don't know where the communication is between the sideline and the court, but it seems like, you know, the players kind of knew the play, and they were, so, you know, as a coach, it's got to be really frustrating, you know, when you don't see them kind of execute what you want them to do. So I'm sure that played into it. And just, you know, just over the years, that signature road win, you know, that they've been looking for. I mean, they've had a few road wins here and there in the Big Ten under Archie Miller's tenure, but as we know, you know, they have not been good in the Big Ten on the road, especially not good ever at Wisconsin. You know, they haven't won in Wisconsin since January of 1998, and I was born in March of 1998, so I haven't even been alive for when they've won there before. So I just think, you know, that big road win that you're looking for, you know, I think a lot of it's just something that as a coach you want to get, especially in this league. You don't want to be able to believe that you can win on the road. And Indiana's come close a lot of times, and they've also, you know, gotten blown out. So I think he was definitely frustrated, and, you know, rightfully so. I think all the players are frustrated too. You know, I think back to the Florida State overtime loss. I remember Trace was mad in the locker room. Like, these are games that, you know, we were supposed to win. You know, we're like a new Indiana. We have this new mentality. And it seemed like, you know, Al Barham last night when he was talking also kind of had that, you know, kind of like pissed off demeanor of like, you know, we didn't come later because we wanted to win this game. We failed to execute. That was it. Like he was pretty short and seemed bothered by it too. So, you know, I think it's good if, you know, the coaches and the players are upset because they expect better out of themselves. You know, I don't think any of them are going away happy that they played Wisconsin close. I think they know they can play Wisconsin close. So, you know, that, I guess from that point, it's a good sign that, you know, if anything, this should just motivate them. But you kind of don't want the frustration to boil over and beat you twice. You know, don't let the Wisconsin game beat you twice. You know, when you come out against Nebraska, you know, you can't come out slow. You can't come out sluggish. So, I think that's I guess maybe the one concern is being close and hearing the narratives and all of this and that. You know, not letting the frustration kind of boil in the locker room and, you know, kind of, you know, ruin what they're kind of trying to accomplish on the court.
Dylan Wallace, Sports Illustrated Indiana. Dylan, as always, thanks for the chat, and we'll talk again next week.
Awesome. Thank you, guys.
We'll head to a commercial break, come back, and turn our attention to tonight's New Albany at Jeffersonville game. We'll have the full play-by-play story here on the Big X, beginning with pregame coverage at 7:10. In the next segment, we'll talk with Andrew Grants, first-year coach at Jeffersonville, but no stranger to Southern Indiana basketball, and he knows this series, this rivalry. And we'll close out the day with Jim Shannon, who will join us later in the segment as well. And speaking of tonight's game, we've talked some about Brandon Razor Moore earlier, and of course the three-headed attack that Jeff has with Lovings Watts and Kobe Studemeyer. I saw this morning Tucker Bivin of New Albany. He will be a huge key tonight for New Albany if they are going to be competitive and have a chance to win this game. When you look at 2022 Major League Baseball draft prospects, Tucker Bivin is number 100 in a list I saw this morning as a right-handed pitcher and also being looked at as a shortstop as well. So his focus today, I'm sure, is basketball and New Albany Jeff. But, boy, what a future he has in baseball, getting those kind of rankings and remarks as you look ahead to the 2022 MLB draft. Back with the coaches here on game day. This is the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
Let's win this one for all the small schools who never had a chance to get here.
Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Let's win for Coach, who got us here.
Here's Matt Dennison.
All right, back, and no better way to close out the show and the week with the head coaches from Jeffersonville and New Albany. First, we'll talk with Andrew Grants here in just a moment, then Jim Shannon of New Albany to close out the program. And, of course, we're getting ready for this big rivalry game, which will be different tonight. There will be very limited immediate family, parents, brothers, sisters only at Johnson Arena tonight for this game. But Coach Grants is with us now. And, Coach, we've talked a few times our preview show, and you've been kind enough to join us on the Hoosier Report a time or two as you've slowly gotten your season going. But this is the first time that I think we can actually talk in depth about your team, because you're the head coach, the guy with them every day in practice, the guy that's leading things on the sideline. And I think finally now you are starting to get enough time and games under your belt to have a real read on who this team is and maybe what they could be.
Yeah, absolutely. We're finally, four games in January 8th, and, finally starting to get an understanding of just even our rotations, our lineups, and, who can kind of slide in and fulfill what roles, and all the way up until this past Tuesday. I mean, we're still even working on that stuff and trying to figure those things out. So it's we're only 2 months away from postseason play, but we're still learning so much about each other. So it's been a little unique this year for sure.
Andrew Grants of Jeffersonville, my guest. Let's go back to Tuesday night. Evansville North came into your place with a 6-1 record. And not only was it a good win, 73-57 for your team, but I thought the way you closed the game, especially that final period, was big. It was tied at halftime, but I'm sure heading into a game like tonight against a rival, a game that's very meaningful on your schedule, to beat a team that's 6-1 heading into your game Tuesday and to do so and pull away in the second half has to help build confidence and has to make you feel good about what your team can do in the latter stages of games.
For sure. Well, one of our concerns going into that game on Tuesday was obviously knowing that, you have a big rivalry game coming up on Friday. So you just worry about your team's focus and maybe looking ahead at times. So we really challenged them and said that, if we want to take care of business on Friday, then we've got to make sure that we get good momentum going on Tuesday. And we had a very, very physical, tough week of practice the week before leading up to Tuesday's game, working on especially a lot of defensive and rebounding, those type of things. So we really just went into that with the focus of making sure that we were taking care of our business, doing those type of things that we need to do to win games. But I was just really proud of our players' focus going into that, to not look ahead to a rivalry game, but to come into that game against Evansville North. That's a very, very good, well-coached Evansville North team. You know, I was proud of our boys of how they responded to that challenge and were able to be disciplined and, you know, take care of business just one game at a time.
Coach Grants, every time we've talked to you, whether it was before the season or since you've been playing games, obviously Will Lovings-Watts and Brandon Razor-Moore, a newcomer, and, of course, Kobe Studemeyer, your point guard, have come up as questions. We've asked you how they're playing, you know, what type of role they'll have on your team this season. And clearly Will Lovings-Watts has just stepped up big time, as I think a lot of us felt that he would, and has taken his game to another level. And Razor-Moore and Studemeyer obviously have been big keys for your team this season. But now that you're a handful of games in, and again, you do have the consistency with them now that maybe normally you would have in the middle of December, and said that's starting to happen in the middle of January because of the COVID pause, very near the start of your season, putting those three guys together. And I know that Jeffersonville isn't just those three players, but when you put those three together with Kobe's ball handling, with Razor-Moore's ability to shoot and drive, and of course with everything that Will brings to the table, that's a pretty good three-headed monster, I think, for your Red Devils.
Yeah, absolutely. They've been doing a tremendous job, all three of them. I thought the game Tuesday was Kobe's best job that he's done since I've been with him, as far as running the point guard spot, getting his guys in spots where they need to be, and running the team. Will was just impressive. I mean, he had 27 points on 13 shots. He was 10 of 13. I mean, just super efficient, but rebounding the basketball well. And then also, you know, Brandon, he just does such a great job of stretching the floor. But again, his deflections, and he creates so much offense for us on the defensive end, and was really proud of him. But yeah, absolutely right. I mean, those three are the three that, you know, that you focus on, you know, but we talked with everybody else about understanding what their strengths are and what they do. And we used an example last week, actually, because we started to define roles a little bit more, and used an example last week of just talking about a car engine and all the different parts of it. And there's so many parts that you don't see, but if you take out one of those parts, then the engine doesn't work. So every single one of the players in this program, and managers and coaches, every single person that's involved in it is an integral part of it. And if you take out one of those parts, the engine doesn't work. So what I've been really impressed with is the rest of the players are starting to understand their roles, what they do really, really well. And what we ask them to do is just do what you do really well as much as you possibly can. And the things that you don't do well, just stay away from those. And, you know, it's a simple concept, but sometimes hard to do. But I tell you what, they've bought into it, and, you know, they're really working on those things and the areas, the shots where, you know, we said you can look to score and what your strengths are. And they've really been looking to get to those, you know, more in games, and been very, very pleased with their response and understanding that although they might not get the headlines because their numbers aren't as big, that they are an integral part of that engine running smoothly.
Andrew Grants, Jeffersonville coach, with us here on Game Day. Coach, final question for you before we bring on Jim Shannon here in just a few moments. You know, this is the first New Albany Jeff game for you, and it's obviously going to be a lot different tonight because of crowd restrictions, which I think everybody gets. It's very understandable with what we're going through with the pandemic, but you're not a stranger to this game. You are from the area. You've played New Albany and Jeffersonville at your previous job a few stops ago when you were the head coach at Providence. You know what these programs are. You know what it means to the communities. You know the history of this thing going back many, many years. What does it feel like to prepare for this game and to be in game day for such an important thing locally and really in our state when it comes to basketball?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I could tell you this. I'm anxious. I'm ready to tip it up and get going and play. You know, it means a whole lot to the community. And like you said, just being from this area and understanding just the rivalries of the different schools in the area and what it means. You know, I'm excited for it. It does. You know, it stinks that we're not able to have, you know, more fans. You know, I was really looking forward to this game and having a packed out gym, but, you know, obviously you understand we want to make sure, you know, safety first, and we're keeping everybody safe and healthy. So that will be a little bit different for sure, but I do know that once we get on the floor, you know, even with less fans in the stands, that it means a lot to the players. It means a lot to the coaches, you know, and so that intensity will still be there. And so we're excited about that. But, you know, like we told our players at the end of the day, you know, with that intensity, and you should play with that intensity, but you also have to be focused in on controlling what you can control and taking care of yourself and executing what you have to execute as well. So that's really going to be our focus as we go into tonight.
Coach Grant's big question, and I'm being real serious here when I ask you this question. What color suit will Clark Miles, your legendary assistant, wear to the game tonight? Or is he going to just maybe wear a jumpsuit since there's no crowd to impress?
I was hoping we were trying to talk him into wearing an all red pinstripe suit, but he won't do it. So no, he will be looking sharp like he does every day.
Yes, absolutely, no question. You know, we love Clark. Coach Grants, look forward to seeing you tonight. As always, thanks for joining us, and good luck to you and the Devils.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
All right, Andrew Grants up first, and we'll close the program today with Jim Shannon, head coach of New Albany. And, Coach Shannon, you have been in this rivalry for many, many years, both the regular season and at times the postseason edition of this game. This is year number 37 overall, but 23 at New Albany High School for you. And I guess you're so focused on the game, you're coaching your kids up. Does no fans really to speak of in the crowd affect anything from your standpoint tonight?
No, I don't think so. I think that the kids will be fired up on both teams. And I think that they're going to get after it like they always do. Certainly, if there were fans in the stands and it's at their place and they would outnumber us, I would think that'd be a distinct advantage. I still think it's an advantage to play at home, regardless if you have fans, but certainly if you have your fans and your student body chanting and all that stuff, I think that it gives you even more of a home field advantage. So do I think it really will affect the outcome? No, I don't. Will it affect the atmosphere? Probably a little bit.
Jim Shannon of New Albany, our guest. Let's talk about this New Albany club. You'll enter the game with a 5-3 record tonight. You've played at times some pretty good football, got the season started with 4 wins in a row, Clarksville, Bloomington South, Evansville, Harrison, and, of course, your other rival, Floyd Central. And then there were 3 slip-ups at Zionsville against highly ranked Carmel, and then Luke Brown and Blackford able to get you in the final minutes of the game. But back in the winning way last week at Seymour in a Hoosier Hills Conference game, what's your feel on this team headed into tonight?
Well, I think like, you know, anything, your season is going to have ups and downs. Unless you are just talent-wise so much better than the other team, then you can afford to have a little bit of a letdown, or you can afford not to execute and you might still get a W. But, you know, when the other team's as good as you or better, you can't have any slip-ups. You can't have any, you know, non-executed plays on offense, and you can't get back on defense slowly. And if you don't communicate defensively as to who you got, call out switches and all those kinds of things, it becomes glaring when you're playing against a good team. And so, yeah, we ran into really 3 excellent basketball teams in the 3 losses that we had. I knew after we played Floyd on Friday, we're never real good on that next day because it's such an emotional game, whether you win, lose, or draw. So I was ready to throw that one out. And we played well against Carmel. I mean, nobody else is beating them either, so they're pretty good, I'd say. They're number 1. They play a really tough schedule, and yet, you know, they've come out on the winning side all 8 or 9 times. And then, you know, Blackford, even though they're a smaller school, it really doesn't matter. It's kind of like Bar Reeve. You know, it doesn't matter what, if you're 1A, 2A, 3A, 4A. If you have talent, you have Division I talent, you're going to be able to compete with anybody. And I think we're finding that out across the state, whether it's those smaller schools or Heritage Hills in 3A or Silver Creek in 3A, teams are loaded, man, and they're good, and they're well coached. So I don't think that, you know, losing to those three teams is any shows any kind of weakness. I think we lost what could be three top 10 teams in the state. And certainly Carmel and Zionsville are top five.
Talking with Jim Shannon of New Albany. Coach, we talk with Coach Grants a little bit about his top players, Loving Watts, Studemeyer, and Razor Moore, and I want to do the same with you as we close out today. Tucker Bivin and Caden Stanton, these guys are still young, but they are experienced in the backcourt. They've had a lot of starting opportunities and a lot of playing time in recent years for your team. Those are guys in a game like tonight, a big Hoosier Hills game, a rivalry game, where you need them to step up not only as leaders and scorers, but really across the board to lead your team tonight.
No, there's no question about that. Those two have been carrying us quite a bit, especially offensively. And certainly when they're both on, we're really good. And when one of them's off, we're not as good. And if both of them are off, we might as well go ahead and pack up. But I think they'll both be on. They've had a great 10 days of practice, had a lot of time to prepare. We've improved, not just those two, the entire team. And so, you know, our kids are certainly ready to go. But, you know, the fact that we don't have a lot of seniors and, you know, with Jordan Thomas being our lone senior that plays quite a bit, you know, they're in the same boat. You know, Jeff's two best players are juniors. You know, they don't have a lot of seniors, I think one. So, you know, the inexperience is on both sides of the coin. So we'll not be using that as an excuse tonight because both teams are inexperienced. But we're really looking forward to it. I think they're a lot better than what people really know or think. I know they're only 2-2, but it's early in their season, and they've been on the road a couple times, and that's always tough. But they're very, very good, very athletic, very well coached. I think this could be one of their better teams, if not this year, certainly next year.
Jim Shannon of New Albany, our guest. Coach, on a more light note before we let you go, I tried to get the scoop from Coach Grants earlier this segment. I couldn't get it, but our friend Clark Miles, you want to put a guess in for what color suit he's going to have at the game tonight? We've got a little guessing game going on here.
Oh, okay. I'll go purple. I'll go purple.
He's really going to stand out.
I'll go with that. We're not going to dress up, so I don't have to worry about what his son's wearing, so. Because I know they'd probably try to outdress one another. So we're not going to have to worry about that.
Absolutely. Jim Shannon of New Albany. Big one tonight. Mm-hmm. New Albany at Jeff, 7:10. Our pregame coverage begins. Absolutely, Coach. Thanks for being with us. That's going to wrap things up for this Friday program. Back with you Monday at 11 a.m. And, of course, again tonight, we've got New Albany Jeff beginning at 7:10 with pregame coverage. Have a great weekend. This is the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.